There's nothing like being in the stands cheering on your favorite team. Game Time is your hack to unlocking amazing tickets in just a few taps. Plus, their Game Time guarantee means you can trust you'll get 100% authentic tickets at the best price. Fees are always included, so what you see is what you pay. Get the best deals on sports tickets. Download the Game Time app and create an account to start searching for tickets to upcoming games and events. Swipe, tap, ticket, go. Game Time.
Let's go! Today we are breaking down your hottest LSU football takes. We do it every single year. I open up in the middle of the summer here a forum, not only in our Patreon, but just on Twitter, responding to your hottest predictions going in. Look, it's very simple. I don't care your opinion of LSU football, whether it's positive or negative, right? This is a very open discussion channel, right? I don't want anyone to be called a nega tiger. I don't want anyone to be called a posit tiger or a homer or whatever. Please be open to different opinions. Okay. So let's not start here. Let's go to the very beginning from yesterday, because I really do want to answer each and every one of your responses. So we go to the very earliest one from LSU What's Up Baton Rouge was, Caden Durham averages 7.5 yards per rush or more. Okay, so the likelihood of this happening is obviously very low. All right, so let's take the best running back in college football last year, Ashton Jeanty, versus lesser competition, averaged 7 yards per rush. I do think 7 yards per rush is somewhat attainable for Caden Durham because you look at someone like Travion Henderson, who was spectacular at Ohio State. I do think Travion Henderson is in the range of outcomes for Caden Durham. Obviously, Travion is an elite pass protector, but that's not really Caden's game. But we're looking at this simply through a rushing lens. Travion Henderson averaged 7 yards per rush last year. So for Durham to be in that 7 yard per rush area, you would need a 1B at running back, right? So Travion Henderson probably would have averaged 5.5 yards per rush if Quinshon Judkins had not come in to Ohio State. So for Caden to get to that mark, you would need Caleb Jackson to step up. Now, just based on how the roles will work out, I could see a world where Harlan Berry is a 7-plus yards per rush running back, because he's not going to have a lot of carries this next year, but he will get touches. And it could be a world where Harlan Berry is so damn explosive that his yard per carry marks just go up. Okay, so I don't think 7 yards per rush will be the mark for Caden Durham, but I do like the boldness. This was a very common one. Top 25 defense in the country, says LA Astros, Louisiana Astros. So, look, as far as that is concerned, I do think Blake Baker needs to have a top 25 defense for this reason. Number one, from a general manager standpoint, you look at the best teams in the NFL. And let's face it, college football is the NFL now. Not quite apples to apples because the NFL has a salary cap. But in theory, you do have a cap on how much theoretical money you could spend. The best teams in the NFL spend their money on offense. They don't spend as much on defense. You look at how our NIL was spread out this offseason. We went out and bought way more defensive players than offensive players. It actually, in a numbers type of way of looking at it, ended up being pretty even. But LSU spent heavily on defense. That's the bottom line. Not only have you spent heavily on defense with the players, you have with your coaching staff as well. So obviously before Bo Davis left, he got a pretty large number just to be a defensive tackles coach, a seven-figure salary. Blake Baker was the highest paid defensive coordinator until Jim Knowles was bought at Penn State for $3 million a year. So in year two, there are no excuses. You know, you look at it from an LSU vantage point. Last year, the talent just was not there defensively. You had only had Harold Perkins for half a year. Then even after that, outside of Braden Swenson and a few others, it just was not a very talented LSU defense. In fact, that was the least LSU talented defense I've seen since the pre-Saban era. So now that is unacceptable. We need dudes, and we got the dudes. So you look at a Jack Pyburn, you look at Patrick Payton, all the way back to A.J. Halsey. This unit, all three units, needs to be better. Even though you lost Braden Swenson, who was phenomenal. This should be a very, very, very elite defense. Okay? So, we keep things moving. This offense breaks all of 2019 records. Okay? You're going to see this one quite a few times. All right? We'll keep it moving here. Same thing here. Better than 2019. This LSU offense. I think people took my prompt the wrong way because I wanted a hot take that was somewhat attainable, right? This is just a hot take that's just wrong. This offense will not be better than the 2019 LSU offense. I don't think anybody could see that in the range of outcomes. And I don't think it's a quarterback thing. I do think Garrett Nussmeier could field the best college football offense. I just don't know if everything else is as talented, right? Garrett obviously isn't Joe. I'm not saying that at all. It's just, you look at the wide receiver room, Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson are the two best wide receivers in the NFL, probably alongside A.J. Brown. You don't have that this year. You do have very good, and we'll get to some of these hot takes with Chris Hilton here pretty soon. But take that out of the equation. Just take that out. The single most important position in college football is the offensive line. And when you have to replace four out of five starters, you're just not going to get it done. And then, of course, you have the Joe Sloan aspect of it. Joe Brady has been one of the more efficient offensive coordinators in the NFL with the Buffalo Bills. Some of that is just Josh Allen, but he's been really good. And you don't have Steve Ensminger anymore. So I understand it's fun to compare things to 2019. And then, you know, with Jaden Daniels, 2023, the second year of Garrett Nussmeier, who has more hype than Jaden or Joe going into this next year as a first-year starter. But better than 2019, obviously, that is a scorching, scorching hot take. All right. Let's take both of these here from Tyler and Game Day Stripes, and we'll take a few from the comment section as well. What's up, Sam? I know Sam's got a few hot ones that he wants to get off here. Tony the Tiger, good to see you. Let's go to Blanche, who follows up on something we said yesterday. That is the least talented team since the pre-Saban era. When I'm honest with myself, I have to admit that LSU did a pretty good job with that talentless team last year. I wouldn't call them talentless, but in terms of raw talent, their record was about where they should have been. Okay. We say, out of Skipper, what's up? Tyler says, LSU puts all three phases together and beats Clemson in a rematch to win the national championship game. Okay. We got a few Clemson ones here, but let's go to Game Day Stripes. I don't know if this is a hot take, but I think they will struggle running the ball more than they did last year. Very, very good response, okay? So let's talk about running the football. You know, we tend to think of running the football as something you just do, right? Like, you have offensive linemen up front. They need to open up holes. Running backs need to run through holes and occasionally break tackles. I don't think of the running game quite like that. The way I view rushing attacks is I think for your rushing offense to be elite, the single most important thing you must do is find a rushing play that you feel your team is really good at. I think that is the single most important thing. Now, why is that? Okay. Well, for one, if you're going to run the football, you need to find one play, whether it's duo, whether it's counter, whether it's inside zone, outside zone, pitch plays, whatever. What is that one run play that is your foundation for your rushing attack? Now, that's not to say that can't evolve, right? But for 2019 LSU, their best rushing play was duo, in my opinion. Now, they ran counter well. They did a lot of different things well, obviously. But duo was their big play, all right? Now, I am not the best reader of duo or inside zone. It's just not something I am elite at. I try to get better at it every day. But even the best are like, hey, I think that was inside zone, duo, whatever. But find that one thing. You know, for me, it is interesting that Alex Atkins comes in, and Alex Atkins is from the counter tree, okay? That doesn't mean he can only coach counter, but at Florida State, that was their bread and butter, counter run scheme, right? You know, if you want to see the best counter run scheme ever, go look at the 2021 LSU versus Florida Gator tape. That is arguably the best counter teach tape you will ever see. Now, a lot of that had to do with Florida and their defense being terrible, but that's how Ty Davis Price broke a record that's held by Leonard Fournette and Darius Geis, the single game rushing record. It's because of counter. Even Josh Williams, a younger Josh Williams, had a big counter run late in that game. So, you know, I like counter. I do. It's just hard to get good at it unless you just rep it a lot, because I do think it requires a little bit more choreography and chemistry for it to work. Okay. So this is interesting. Nasty Nate, or Nate for short, he says the expectations this year are much higher than what they were leading into 2019. Okay, I don't know if I fully agree with that. I think there's a difference between expectations and pressure. I do think Ed Orgeron was under a lot of pressure, but not nearly as much as Brian Kelly is under going into this next year. So I would say it's about even as far as expectations and pressure, but maybe I'm just totally wrong on that. You guys feel free to correct me if I'm wrong. Okay, let's go to Show Enough. This is one of our patrons as well. He dropped this in our exclusive Patreon chat. Year two, Joe Sloan gets the LSU offense back into top five rushing in the SEC. All right. So we obviously talked quite a bit about the rushing game. We've you know, talked about the counter and all of it. But it is true, Joe Sloan needs to be better. And if Joe Sloan is watching right now, Jordan Schoenough is your biggest fan, because most of the comments and the responses I received weren't glowingly reviews of Joe Sloan. Al Bloodworth says Nuss wins a Heisman. Yeah, let's roll with that. I believe it. I could see it. Definitely so. I do think week one could very much decide the Heisman Trophy, because Nuss and Kate Klubnik will be the two biggest favorites going into next year. I do think a lot of Arch Manning public money will come in, but I do think Garrett Nussmeier will indeed win the Heisman. Why not? So this one was bold right here from Crazy Cajun Dave. Tre'Davious Green gets 14 receiving touchdowns this season. Okay. LSU had four players with 14 plus receiving touchdowns in a season. It was Jettis and Jamar in 2019. BTJ in 2023 along with Malik Nabers. Kyle Pitts holds the touchdown record, I believe, single season for a tight end. He had 12 and only 8 games in 2020. But it is true that LSU wants to get the football more to Tre'Davious Green. It is important to note, though, when Tre'Davious Green was on the field, defenses recognized it pretty quickly. And they could see that that was a red zone mismatch. And, well, we did hit a big one versus Baylor in the red zone. We hit a few more for tutties as well. One versus Ole Miss for Tre'Davious. A few other, like, kind of tight end slips. But, you know, we missed the one versus Vanderbilt. Had a few misses versus Arkansas. Couldn't quite get in there versus Texas A&M. But if you want to say Tre'Davious Green will have 8 receiving touchdowns, which is also a pretty high number for a tight end, sure. It also depends if Tre'Davious Green is going to be more of a receiver or if he's going to be more of a tight end. I would like to see LSU, you know, when you think 12 personnel, you think obviously that Georgia Bulldogs team. But I could see them do something like the Cleveland Browns have done. They played a lot of 12 personnel under Kevin Stefanski these last couple of seasons and use Tre'Davious and Bower Sharpe on the same field at the same time. Remember, while LSU has spent a lot of money this offseason and they've spent a lot of time evaluating their wide receiver room, and it's a good wide receiver room with Aaron Anderson and so on and so on, you could see a world where Tre'Davious and Bower Sharpe play a lot more together on the field at the same time. And what gets really sexy about that is if you are a counter run team, counter is more run with tight ends attached to the line of scrimmage. All right. Because you get into counter GY, which is the guard and the tight end pulling to one side of the field. I prefer counter GY to counter GT, which is when you're pulling a guard and a tackle. And we can get into why I prefer counter GY. I think most coaches prefer counter GY. You can run counter GT very effectively. But, you know, Bower Sharpe did a lot of lead pulling last year for Oklahoma. And he had varying degrees of success as the lead or one of the blockers on a pull counter read last year for Oklahoma. Okay. Let's go to Sam, who's dropping a few hot ones here. And we'll get back to all. I'm going through every single Twitter hot take tonight. And we'll talk some LSU baseball a little bit later. Number one, Devon Keyes will lead LSU in tackles. That is an unbelievably downright, diabolically spicy take. That could happen. All right. That is honestly a very, very, very bold take. I have never been more confident in any one player to lead LSU in tackles than Whit Weeks going into next season, at least since the Devin White going into his final season at LSU in 2018. And if we're going to be honest, Devin White didn't have as many bottom-out performances, and by that I mean Whit Weeks did have some games last year where it was just rough. But Whit Weeks' ceiling is that of Devin White because we've seen him do it. The Ole Miss game is one of the best linebacker games that has ever been played at LSU. It's up there with some of those Brady James games, Kevin Minter's 20 tackles versus Florida, Devin White versus A&M. I mean, there's a gazillion Devin White games you can pick and say that's the best one. But that's how good Whit Weeks was in that game. And then he followed that up with Arkansas, which was arguably better. Whit Weeks will lead the team in tackles. Now, the problem is, how does the linebacker rotation even work? For you to be the leader in tackles, you would need to start every game. Now, if you want to say that the most common linebacker pairing we have next year is Whit Weeks and Devon Keyes, You're probably right about that. I would agree with that. Remember, when it comes to the portal, the one position that was not really addressed is off-ball linebacker. Okay. But I like spicy takes. I do. Now, the second one is one that I want to discuss because I could definitely see this happen. And you're not the only one that had a Tyree Adams take amongst the Twitter hot takers. He will have a better season than every 2024 lineman not named Will Campbell. Well, look, I think if Will Campbell was sitting right here, he would say, look, I think Tyree Adams could have a better season than me. There's a lot of people in that building that believe in Tyree Adams. So let's go through his career because we talk about this quite a bit on PHL. Guys that are unproven are oftentimes, in particular year three guys, guys that you have not seen anything from them at all, oftentimes you're just not good. It's just the truth. They're just not good. Unless you have something called blockers, right? It's more of a poker term, and it's also a football term, obviously blocking somebody. But a blocker is something in poker where you bluff somebody because you have one of the cards that prevents the other person from having the nuts or the best hand, all right? It's a way you can leverage poker bluffing and betting for value and all that stuff. I use the term blockers in terms of depth charts, right? So basically, Tyree Adams has had blockers his entire career at LSU. He is an offensive tackle, not a guard. It was impossible for anybody to play offensive tackle at LSU over the past couple of seasons because Will Campbell and Emory Jones were very good starters, and they were only year two players when Tyree Adams was a true freshman going into their second year. Okay, so obviously, midway through the season, Emory Jones gets hurt, and in steps Lance Hurd. Now, he's out of the picture, and you would think Tyree Adams would be the first person off the bench. Well, Will Campbell and Emory Jones did not get hurt. And then Tyree Adams has a medical procedure that was described to me as semi-serious. All right, it was kind of mysterious. All right, but still, the reason why that was relevant is because I do believe Tyree Adams was the best replacement for Garrett Dellinger. Instead, they went with Paul Mbenga, who just could not hold up. He just couldn't. He was not ready as a year two, three-star player stepping into guard. Okay. Now we get to year three. And Tyree Adams has mostly a clean bill of health. And Will Campbell and Emory Jones are out of the door. So this isn't your normal situation because an offensive line, you have to honestly wait your turn. And Tyree Adams has not had his turn yet. He has had really good days of practice. You know, I have asked a few times, who do you like better, Tyree Adams or Weston Davis going into next year? Obviously, Tyree's more of a left tackle. Weston Davis has mostly been a right tackle. And most of the responses have been Tyree Adams. Now, he is a year older, but Weston Davis was a clear top 100 recruit, okay? So, look, I like Tyree Adams a lot. I really, really, really do. And I could see number two happening. I could. Now, it is a little concerning because you just haven't seen him versus an SEC rigorous schedule. The good news is there were so many elite defensive ends on last year's team that left. A lot. All right. Shamar Stewart, out the door. Shamar Turner, out the door. A few of those Alabama guys, like Jihad Campbell, out the door. Now, that doesn't mean that there's not going to be still good players. Sapp at Florida is there. Okay. They're still really good players. Dylan Stewart at South Carolina. But I could see it. And thank you for your super chat. I really, really, really do appreciate it. All right, we'll keep it going here. And I feel like we're getting a few more flying in on the Twitters. Once again, I would prefer you just put it in the YouTube chat. But like I said, I promise I'm going to go through every one of these. Okay. There you go. We got another one. Tyree Adams will be first team all offensive tackle. That was actually the very next one. I'm telling you, Sam's hot takes are always the best because they're timely. We get to Monsoor Delane will be a first team All-American corner. Yeah, I could see that. I think he'll be on quite a few first team All-Americans. Okay. 2025 defense will be top 25 in total defense. Okay. We go to this one from Boot Ball. LSU has at least two receivers go over 1,000 yards. Okay. So, I actually responded to this one already, but I want to show you the data of 1,000-yard receivers. Okay. And you would be somewhat shocked at how few 1,000-yard receivers there are in the SEC every year. Okay. In 2015, there were four. And then 2016, 2017, 2018, there was only two in the entire SEC. 2019, four. 2020, two. 2021, seven. 2022, two. 2013, four. 2023, excuse me, four. And then last year, there was only two. Okay. So, you know, I say here, a good chunk of these wide receivers were on the same team. So you had Devonta Smith and Jerry Jeudy and Henry Ruggs all on the same offense in one of these years. Justin Jefferson and Jamar Chase, obviously, BTJ and Malik Nabers. So having two 1,000-yard receivers isn't uncommon, right? It normally happens once every other year. I just don't see that happening at LSU, even with the most throw-happy quarterback in the SEC. It's a lot easier to have 1,000-yard receivers if a quarterback is a pocket quarterback. I think that's part of the reason why Barry and Brown decided to come to LSU from Kentucky. I just don't think Chris Hilton and Aaron Anderson in particular are the alpha type of players that will separate enough from Barry and Brown, Tre'Davious Green, Bowers Sharp, Xavion Thomas, Caden Durham, Nick Anderson, and if you are a Kyle Parker believer, he's in that mix as well. Destin Hill also has some believers in that building, even though, you know, injuries has been a big part of his career. But I do think LSU will have at least one 1,000-yard receiver this year. I do. I don't know who that'll be. Once again, that's sometimes kind of random. So there you go. Let me see. What is something happening with my microphone? I'm sorry. I'm trying to. I'll turn it off and just go raw dog right into the computer. Type Y for yes. Type in for no. If you can hear me loud and clear, it looks like it's fine. Okay. Nuss wins his third Heisman at LSU in the last 6 years. Or Nuss wins the third Heisman at LSU in the last 6 years. You know, my big response is, I also responded this one already online, is college football has seen mostly favorites win the Heisman. Caleb Williams was top five in Heisman odds. Bryce Young was top five in Heisman odds. Travis Hunter was five-ish, but it was plausible. I think most people could see that happening. And then all the others mixed in there were amongst the Heisman favorites as well, including Jaden Daniels. So I don't think Nuss winning Heisman is necessarily a hot take. Okay. Now this one is one I actually spent quite a bit of time on discussing yesterday on Twitter. LSU loses another opener to Clemson and then proceeds to run the table and finishes 11-1. Okay. So this is a very philosophical way of looking at this, okay? And I feel like it's important to know what SEC coaches are saying behind the scenes. They do not want to play in the SEC championship game, all right? Even though there's still some money and prestige alongside it, This was my response yesterday on Twitter to this comment. Brian Kelly wins coach of the year running away if LSU loses a season opener and then runs the table. The downside is if you go undefeated in SEC play, you are a 99.9% lock to be in the SEC title game in Atlanta. That is not what we want. All right? Because let's just say you go to that game and you lose that game. Guess what? You are playing in the first round of the college football playoff. All right? So your season goes from 13 games to 17 games. The sweet spot to be in for the college football playoff is actually the third team in the SEC going into the playoff. Now, why is that? Well, you avoid that SEC championship game. You ask Kirby Smart, hey, would you have given up winning the SEC championship game for a healthy Carson Beck? He would probably say no and give you a political answer saying, I like the prestige, whatever. Any Georgia fan would tell you that when Carson Beck got hurt, they were not going to win at all. You could be the biggest Gunnar Stockton fan out there. So it's opposite how it used to be. Because it used to be in a two-team playoff or a four-team playoff, you would prefer to lose the Clemson game and then win out. But now, I would prefer LSU to lose versus Alabama. And then Alabama play Texas in the SEC championship game. But if our only loss is to Alabama, we're a playoff lock. Lock. So, yes, I could see LSU doing that. But more than likely, they are a one loss or more than one loss team going into next year. All right. Let's keep it going. Let's go with John John, who's happy SGA won the Heisman. I say the Heisman, the MVP. You get two transfer safeties who are elite playmakers and corners. All right. So let's talk about the safety position. This is how I feel the safety position will roll out. All right. I do not think Tamarcus Cooley will be one of these starting safeties. A.J. Halsey will definitely start. Who is the other safety next to A.J. Halsey? My preferred player would be Deshaun Spears. Now, Spears struggled as a true freshman last year. He had some really good moments. Obviously, that touchdown-saving tackle versus South Carolina was very, very, very clutch. But let's be honest, okay? Deshaun Spears might not happen. The guy that will probably start alongside A.J. Halsey is Jordan Gilbert. That is the most likely scenario. And I think Tamarcus Cooley will play some nickel star rotating in with Harold Perkins at that position. It's kind of weird trying to figure out who goes where. All right. But, you know, with Tamarcus Cooley at safety, I could see it work out. I just don't think that's his best position. I just don't. All right. We'll keep it going. Probably move through these a little bit quicker. Brody Dupree's been rocking with us for a while. LSU will lead the country in takeaways and havoc rate. So what is havoc rate? Well, havoc is subjective, right? It's objective, but people leave some things in and out of what constitutes havoc. So havoc is a combination of pass deflections, interceptions, fumbles, forced fumbles, sacks. And basically, a havoc-based defense is one that creates a lot of chaos in the backfield. So that's what Blake Baker wants. He is a havoc fiend. Here's how I feel about that, though, is that you can be a little too aggressive with havoc just for the sake of havoc. Perfect example. Quite a few of us would consider the worst LSU defense of all time the 2020 LSU defense. Did you know that they were amongst the SEC leaders in havoc, right? Now, you wouldn't think that, right? If you're penetrating, getting into the backfield, making a lot of plays, you got a really good defense, right? Well, yes and no. It was very boom or bust when it comes to that defense's havoc, right? Because if you go back and you really evaluate the 2020 LSU defense, we had a crap ton of pick sixes. We had a crap ton of fumbles. We had a crap ton of deflected passes. But we were still bad because of our aggression. We obviously gave up explosive plays. Now, the funny thing is, as far as aggression is concerned, we didn't really blitz a whole lot. We just kind of played two men under and stayed stale. But the point is, LSU's defense last year got a little too aggressive in my mind. And one way to attack an aggressive defense is zone read, right? Because if I am reading what you are doing, if you're too aggressive and you're blitzing guys and you're shooting through gaps, the quarterback could see that, pull it, and run into an open space. And that's essentially what hurt us last year. So that's a very simplified way of doing it. You could still be a havoc defense while at the same time staying gap, discipline, and sound. But we got to be careful if we're just trying to blitz and generate havoc for the sake of havoc. LSU will lead the country in takeaways. I could definitely see that, okay? One guy who I think a lot of people are mischaracterizing is Patrick Payton. He's not necessarily, and normally a player in his build is like an elite bender, elite sack guy who generates a lot of pressure. That's really not been Patrick Payton's game, right? Now, he has had sacks and he has made plays in backfields, but the best thing he does is deflect passes. I have never seen a college defensive lineman better at deflecting passes than him. He is ridiculously good at it. He had a huge one versus Jaden Daniels when we played them in 2023 in Orlando. So that guy is an absolute monster, all right? Let's go to Cajun Cowboy. I've been rocking with him for a while. LSU starts the season 1-2. Let's go to Brian. LSU obliterates Clemson 16 and goes 16-0. Okay. If LSU obliterates Clemson, we're going 16-0. Jordan says Clemson 31, LSU 20, unfortunately. There we go. Okay. So, let's go to this, all right? LSU, I think the most likely scenario will start the season 2-1, all right? But there is a little bit of extra context that should be added to LSU's 2-1 start going into next season. Because while it very well could be 2-1, I think 5-0 is more doable than people would like to think.
Let's go!
On a journey together with Zion Imaging, I want you to see this experience up close. And me as a wedding and event DJ, I watched how everybody had so much fun with Zion Imaging. And a big reason for their success is the team. Yes, Jaron Thomas and his family started this off as a passion project, and they have one simple goal in mind: taking your event to the next level. Whether it's a wedding, reunion, quinceañera, school, or corporate event, Zion Imaging is all about family-friendly fun. And And I got to show you on this tour the high-level technology that quickly sends your video session to your phone, whether it's iPhone or Android. Yes, it's the Zion Imaging 360 Spin Booth Experience, serving North Texas, North Louisiana, South Arkansas, Orlando, and more. Give us a call, 318-469-4265. Check us out on Facebook or book us at Zion Imaging, xyanimaging.com. So we keep it going. I do think LSU could start 5-0 for this reason. They do not play back-to-back Power 5 teams in the first month of the season. Now, that may not seem like it's a lot, but LSU is in a better spot depth-wise to deal with the rigors of a difficult schedule. But you take a look at this, this is very doable. All right, it's very, very, very doable. Clemson in the first week. All right, Louisiana Tech, they've been terrible. Florida, you get them at night in Tiger Stadium. Southeastern, back-to-back home games, then you get a road game at Ole Miss where you played arguably one of the best games in LSU history, where you lost, right? But in terms of excitement, that game is up there, right? But 5-0 is definitely more doable. And if you can get by Clemson, you should be feeling pretty good about at least being 4-1. I think LSU's target is to be 4-1 through the first month of the season. But of course, 5-0 is where you want to be, okay? So we keep it moving. Oh, is Prescia in here? I like it. Let's go to Caleb. He says, LSU's toughest game of the season will be week 3 against Florida. I could see it. I mean, Florida could be the best team on LSU's schedule next year. You know, Alabama is what everyone points to, and by blue chip ratio, they're definitely the best. But honestly, Clemson's the best team on LSU's schedule. They just are, all right? Let's keep it going to Nukesi. We also beat A&M on the road and Florida at home, but we lose to Arkansas and OU on the season. Arkansas, okay, one thing of note regarding Arkansas that will be the only home 11 a.m. game LSU plays all season. That was confirmed today. So all the start times are actually confirmed today. We'll talk a little bit more about that tomorrow because it wasn't confirmed. The only thing that is for certain is LSU versus Arkansas in Tiger Stadium will be an 11 a.m. or noon kickoff. Sherry Berry says she is nervous about the Clemson game. You should be. Okay. Samajay says, if LSU wins week one, we're going 12-0. I don't think that's happening. I don't think this is an undefeated team. Okay. Jaden Daniels says the same odds as Garrett Nussmeier to win the Heisman. And he is betting it again. Okay, very nice. Let's keep it moving. All right. LSU had the best defense in the SEC. Best defense in the SEC. I mean, I would still lean Texas, even though they lost so much. All those great defensive linemen, all those great DBs in particular, but I would still slightly lean Texas. Maybe Georgia? I don't know. I don't know. Let's keep it moving. Ooh, LSU has the most draft picks in the 2026 draft. Okay. I like that name. Sylvain Alarcon? Alarcon? I like that. So, who will for sure be drafted in the 2026 NFL draft? Garrett Nussmeier near 100%. Mansoor Delane near 100%. And then outside of that, it is for me to say a gazillion percent you're going to get drafted. It's hard. It gets a little harder. Chris Hilton will for sure get drafted. Aaron Anderson will probably get drafted as well. So I think the over-under for this roster will probably be at around 7.5 to 8. I think Jack Pyburn gets drafted, Patrick Payton. I think that could happen. Normally, though, we've seen a few teams get into the double digits. Obviously, 2019 LSU had 14, Georgia in 2021 was ridiculous, and then Texas and Ohio State recently, very ridiculous. Offense only scores 40 points in three games, and Joe Sloan is let go, says Adam. Okay, I've been rocking with Adam for a while. In fact, I was one of the first people that Adam saw after he got engaged. That's crazy. At the who remembers to get together at the axe throwing place Stumpy's in New Orleans. That's great. So, last year, LSU did not score 40 points versus an SEC team since 2008. It is a little misleading, though, because LSU did score 34-plus points versus four Power Four teams, and they did get 40-plus versus Baylor, but I don't know why 40 points was the cutoff. So, there you go. Let's keep it moving. 2026 world champions after we beat Manchester City. Okay. Ness throws for 4,000 yards. I think that does happen. Let's go to Jared. Harold Perkins will get 8 sacks and Whit Weeks will get 6. It's a pretty high number. 8 sacks and 6 sacks. Harold Perkins getting 8 sacks. I think Brayden Swenson finished the year with 8.5. Reminder, There has not been a double-digit sack guy in the past 20 years of LSU football outside of Arden Key. It sounds wild, but it's indeed true. Brayden Swenson finished with 8.5 sacks last year. That is a little bit different. We played a lot of mobile quarterbacks. Those do have, it is a little bit harder to sack those types of quarterbacks. So we'll see. But Harold Perkins to 8 sacks. It's a high number. I do think he'll be in that 5 range. All right. So this was the inspiration of the thumbnail. They go 7-5. Brian Kelly is gone. Says go hard 10. They beat Clemson and drop 2 on their way to the SEC title and slide into the play. I don't. Those are 2 completely different things. All right, you can't go 7-5 and make the playoff, huh? We'll keep it moving. LSU leads the SEC in yards per carry. I just don't think that happens. I just don't. You know, one of the things that really hyperbolizes yards per carry marks is having a rushing quarterback, right? One of the highest yard per carry rushers in LSU history is Jaden Daniels, because quarterback scrambles can really inflate yard per carry numbers. So it is a little far-fetched to pick LSU to be the leader in yards per carry when your quarterback doesn't give you those big 40, 50-yard scrambles like Lenore Sellers and Taylen Green will do with Arkansas. And that's not a knock on Nuss. But Mike, if they do that, I will shave my chest live on PHL. That's how happy I would be. And yes, I am hairy. Let's go to Mature Storm. Vanderbilt beats LSU and causes the downfall of Brian Kelly. Okay. Let's talk about it. Can LSU lose the game versus Vanderbilt? Well, the first thing is understanding that Vanderbilt does come in a somewhat tricky portion of the schedule, right? You get them in kind of a weird look-ahead spot. So I like the structure of LSU's schedule going into next year. I liked it last year as well. I do think LSU, their schedule is tougher than last year. I do also think it's not the toughest schedule in the SEC. You don't have to play Texas. You don't have to play Georgia. You don't have to play the hypo offense in Tennessee, which still to this day was the worst beatdown I feel Brian Kelly has taken. But you look at this schedule, and you get Vanderbilt in between South Carolina and Texas A&M. One thing I do like about the Vanderbilt game is that it is an 11 a.m. kickoff. So that means LSU will be getting back at a good hour, which gives them really good time to get ready for that big one versus Texas A&M. The only way the Vanderbilt game losing it would cause a downfall of Brian Kelly is if we had lost the week before to South Carolina, or if we had already had 2 losses up to this point. All right, so let's just say LSU loses to South Carolina, Ole Miss, and Florida, but they beat Clemson or vice versa. They're 1-3 in P4 games. And they go into Vanderbilt and they lose. Then you very well could see LSU starting to take action and moving on into a different direction. I don't think that it happens, but I also think if it did happen, LSU is running it back with Brian Kelly unless things get really rancid next year. And by that to happen, you would need things to get rancid in terms of behind-the-scenes stuff as well. Because in the NIL era, the powers that be don't want to sign checks for coaches to leave, while also those same people signing checks for 18 and 19-year-olds to come to your university. So the downfall of Brian Kelly is a little it's a little too hot of a take, because a lot of things would need to happen for him to be gone. All right. We touched on this one a little bit earlier. LSU will be top 20 in both total defense and scoring defense. I mean, I kind of think they need to be. Okay, you see that? There's BT right there. Let's go to this one. I really like this take. Lactose intolerant. Chocolate Graham. LSU finishes fourth in the SEC regular season. I honestly think that's about where most people have them. I don't think that that's a hot take, unless you are around delusional LSU fans that think this team is going undefeated every year. Fourth in the SEC. Honestly, the best spot to be is third. You're third in the SEC. You avoid the SEC championship game, and you're likely hosting a first-round playoff game. Now, last year, the third SEC team barely missed out on hosting a playoff game, and that was Tennessee. Okay, but third in the SEC is fine. Fourth, that means you're going on the road in the first week of the playoffs. I'll take it. All right, Wavy FBG, that's not going to happen. We have 3,000-yard receivers and 2,000-yard rushers. Maybe on NCAA 26. James, who weirdly comes after me for some of my Betterina takes, Betterina as the offensive coordinator this season. Let's go to Julie, who says, Garrett Nussmeier needs to run more. Or that Brian Kelly says Garrett Nussmeier needs to run more. So Julie did post a Brian Kelly interview in the Discord. I believe it was the College Game Day interview. So make sure you go check that out. Barrett is coming in really, really, really hot. All right, this is a scorcher. The new O-line makes the overhyped offensive line of last year look soft. All right. So, I think this is very disrespectful. Here's my problem with this take. Big problem with this take. And I understand I have defended a lot of the struggles of the LSU offensive line. But you take a look at the starting five LSU offensive line last year. It doesn't matter if you look at PFF grade or if you actually watch the games yourself. The worst offensive lineman from that group is the only one that's returning to next year's offensive line. And that, of course, is DJ Chester. Now, I have been very critical of DJ Chester on this channel. Not because of him, though, but because of the situation. Play calling needs to get better. There's a lot of things that need to get better for this offensive line to get better. Okay? But let's be honest. And I want you to be as honest as you possibly can. Emory Jones had a tough year last year. Miles Frazier had tough moments last year. Gary Dellinger has struggled to stay healthy. So, you know, could this offensive line be better than last year's offensive line? With better play calling and identity, they can. But it's highly unlikely. But I don't. I think soft is just a word that gets thrown around in football a little too often. But Barrett, I like the hot take. I like that you came in hot. Justin says you continue to lose the first game of the season, a tradition unlike any other. Wizdog 16. Ryan says Aaron Anderson wins the Biletnikoff Trophy. I like this one. All right. So you look at most of the Biletnikoff Trophy winners. A lot of them were attached to pocket QBs, or quarterbacks that mostly operated from the pocket. And that, of course, is Garrett Nussmeier. I do think the receiver that is the odds-on favorite to play the most snaps is Aaron Anderson. So, sure. Aaron Anderson wins a Biletnikoff. Let's do it. I like it, Ryan. I don't like the fact that one of these guys in your Avi has a Tom Brady jersey on, though. We're not a Brady channel. I'm kidding. I might be seeing Tom Brady next week. I'm going to New York for Fanatics Fest. Harold Perkins Jr. wins the Butkus Award. Says Clayton Hufford. I really like that professional avatar right there. But winning the Butkus, I like it. I hope it happens. I think Aaron Anderson winning the Biletnikoff has a higher likelihood. I do think when it comes to the defensive awards, hype does matter. And name recognition does matter. And Harold Perkins has a lot of that. Let's go to Bleeding Purple. Our baseball team is in the World Series. You have all of July and August to ask this question. I love it when people tell me how to run my social media and channels. Okay. I'm glad Bleeding Purple, Mr. Pelicutis, whatever the hell that means, let me know that the baseball team is in the World Series. I would have never have known that the LSU tackle baseball team was in the College World Series that is held annually in Omaha, Nebraska. If it wasn't for Bleeding Purple letting me know this, I would have never have known that Jay Johnson would be in his fourth College World Series in the past 8 years. I wouldn't know that if it wasn't for Bleeding Purple. So I appreciate your very welcome addition to this exercise. All right, Patron Berto, we've covered that one pretty extensively. Let's go to Preston here, and if you're a Drewski fan, that is Preston right there. Chris Hilton goes for 1,200 yards. Let's go to Leonard. He says the same thing. Has he breakout season like BTJ and goes first round in the NFL draft? Okay. So for Chris Hilton to go for 1,200 yards, that would be the sixth best season in LSU football history. Odell didn't go for 1,200. Jarvis didn't go for 1,200. BTJ, Malik, Justin Jefferson, Jamar Chase, and Wendell Davis are the only five receivers to have ever gone for over 1,200 yards at LSU. Obviously, the first thing is Chris Hilton needs to stay healthy. We saw at the end of last year, he got the jumping issue fixed. That was not only brought up by me repeatedly before this past season, but by the national media, including John Boy in that very viral breakdown. And shout out to John Boy getting the MLB Network deal. I've been on John Boy before. 1,200 yards. I could see it happening. That tends to lend itself to explosive receivers. Chris Hilton, a year five, top 100 Louisiana recruit. Yeah, I could see that. Let's go to Dandy Donnie. Not to get confused with the legendary Dandy Don. Lose to Clemson with another opening day defeat. Brian Kelly will be circling the wagons again with a 9-3 or 8-4 season. 9-3 might be good enough to get you into the playoffs. So there you go. Aggie Banter, another Drewski avatar. LSU goes 5-7 and gets blasted by A&M at home. Doubt that happens. Red Eye Jedi 5 says, Brian Kelly actually has his team prepared from all offseason to play Clemson, and LSU wins the opener. Ness has 6,000 yards and 60 touchdowns. I like it. Which is a reference to Joe Burrow. Those are his numbers. Let's go to Charlie. He says, Caleb Jackson breakout season. Interesting. So, as far as Caleb Jackson and a breakout season, you know, obviously he has to improve on his vision. When you listen to Caleb Jackson give an interview during the spring, he was very self-reflective, and he practically said, I need to be better. I was not who I expected myself to be. And look, he was a young kid who has had multiple SportsCenter viral moments, some in practice, some in actual games. When in truth, the most overrated play a running back makes is running somebody over. Now, is it the funnest? Yeah, it's the funnest. But running someone over rarely results in more yards after running that person over, unless your name is Leonard Fournette. So, you know, vision needs to get better. I thought Caleb Jackson got better in pass protection. I also think him as a receiver is very interesting. I could see a world, and this is like opposite normal logic, but normally your big bruising back is not your third down receiving back, but I could see that being his role next year. So by breakout season, I guess 400-ish yards would be a breakout season. So there you go, Charlie. I also like the photo of the doggo. Chris Hilton finishes top 5 in receiving yards. There we go. Hopefully top 5 on LSU's team, but I know you're talking about in all of college football. That would be great. Power Tripped says Brian Kelly kept Joe Sloan an offensive coordinator, so the season is over before it even started. I will say this. By all accounts, I like Joe Sloan personally. I do. All right. But we do need to get better. We do need to be better. Okay. A few curse words there. Durham finishes first team All-SEC running back. Very plausible, and I think it could happen. How many running backs in the SEC are better than Caden Durham? I think most would say Jay Knott. I think most would say Quintrevion Weisner. But Caden Durham, first team All-SEC, I could see it. Mr. LSU Butthead, Boudin Zins. That is such a great Louisiana handle. Beavis and Butthead avatar. Tari, good to see you. Andrew, good to see you as well. We lose 4 games and Brian Kelly is shown the door. If LSU loses 4 games, Brian Kelly will not be shown the door. Okay. Now, if we get blown out in 4 games, then maybe, but I doubt it. JT Hannon says, LSU goes undefeated at home. There is a schedule. Home games versus Louisiana Tech, Florida, Southeastern, South Carolina, Texas A&M, Arkansas, Western Kentucky. I could see it. The question would be, how many of these home games will LSU not be favored in? The answer is zero. They're going to be favored in every single one of them. In my humble estimation. Unless they're just a bad team. If they're a bad team, then they'll be underdogs versus South Carolina and A&M. Make it and happen says Juwan Johnson will be LSU's version of Taysom Hill. Well, they're not really comparable types of athletes. Taysom, I think, even if you factor in age and prime and all of it, I think Taysom's faster, Taysom's bigger. But that doesn't mean Juwan Johnson himself isn't explosive and dangerous with the football in his hands. You know, could I see Juwan Johnson having a red zone QB role? I could. Even over someone or like a Colin Hurley, if you will, or like the transfer from Mississippi State. Why am I forgetting his name? We've done so many breakdowns on him. LSU's version of Taysom Hill, Michael Van Buren, of course. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about Juwan Johnson going into next year. I do think they're going to try and get him touches. Let's go to Andon Brabham. All right, so shout out to Andon. That looks like it's an LSU student media backdrop right there. Manship School. There we go. Yeah, it is Manship School. So let's see. Let's see, he's a journalism student. Tiger TV, okay. That's where I got my start. That's crazy. Roughly 20 years ago. That makes me feel old now. Very old. LSU's losses, according to Andon, Clemson, Florida, South Carolina, Texas A&M, and Alabama. I could see it, but they would need to be a bad team for them to lose all five of those games. I don't think that this is going to be a bad team. That doesn't mean they're going to be an elite team. The most likely scenario of these five games is LSU either goes 3-2 or 2-3. But I don't think that there is a simulation, even if LSU is just downright terrible this year, that they lose all five of these games. I think a more likely scenario would be, because these are the five biggest games on the schedule. I think if they were to go 7-5, they would lose four of these games and then lose one versus a school like Vanderbilt that you have to go on the road and play at 11 a.m., okay? So, let's see. I just screwed this up. Oh, God, I lost my spot. We're going to get to all these. See, there was a lot. I don't care if I got to spend 12 hours on this. I said I would go. I'll take this off for a little bit. There we go. Michael Van Buren, of course. Let's keep it moving. Unless wins a Heisman. Christian says two losses in the first four games. Okay. Let's go to D. Lee. One of the DBs, Delaney or Pickett, will be in Jim Thorpe contention. The hottest take I've seen is DJ Pickett winning the Jim Thorpe, which would never, I think, go out to a true freshman defensive back. But if it did, that would be arguably the best true freshman season by any defensive player. That is a difficult position to be the best in all of college football in. And remember, the Thorpe, to me, is arguably the hardest of the individual awards to win because you not only have to beat out corners, you got to beat out safeties, and you got to beat out nickels. So DJ Pickett winning the Thorpe as a true freshman would be arguably the greatest feat, single season feat by any true freshman ever, easily. Jim Thorpe contention, I could see it. I'm very high on DJ Pickett, very high. But I also don't think voters will give it to a true freshman. Let's just say he is the best. Okay. My dog was under my feet the entire time. Okay, Nick says, this has been very popular. We lose to Clemson in game one, but we come back to win the Natty. Very, very, very common. LSU losing to Vanderbilt has been very common. Very common. Let's keep it moving. L. Chris Larn has been one of our biggest supporters. I agree. I think the offense has a massive setback of a year, and if Ness doesn't use his legs, their ceiling is 8-4. Julie had a very good super chat earlier about that, using his legs. Okay. Let me look at something really quickly. I do think a game that should concern you a little bit more is Arkansas, because they'll be coming off a bye week, and that is their Super Bowl. And, you know, that is just their Super Bowl. I mean, they care the most about that game more than anybody else. Elchris also says she is very high on the defense. Okay. Jay Boogie says DJ Pickett wins the Jim Thorpe Award. Whew. Once again, another person picking Vanderbilt to beat LSU. Insane how many of those we've had. Let's go to Charlie. Unfortunately, the LSU defense will only be marginally better, not crack the top 30, and Blake Baker gets exposed as overrated. I mean, it could happen. I mean, look, what couldn't LSU stop last season? Mobile quarterbacks. Every single quarterback on LSU's schedule can run. Now, I would say two are in the elite rushing category, and that is Taylen Green and Lenore Sellers. But most of them are very good runners. Let's keep it moving here. Andrew Devon says 11-1. Bama fan comes in. LSU either wins 10 games or loses 5. Bofa says there will be a streaker at the LSU home opener. Is that going to be you, Bofa? And who is Bofa? Bofa who? Huh? Tiger Huddle Network says if LSU loses week one, BK is getting fired immediately. And LSU brings in Lane Kiffin. Now, that would be the number one name for a lot of people if the job were to come open, but that's not happening. John Fontenot says 15-0. I like that. John Fontenot is also the name of one of my lifelong friends. And actually, ironically, I talked to him on the phone for the first time in years this week. So it's meant to be 15-0. Edges combined for 20-plus sacks this year. It's a pretty high number. But I could see it happening. Okay. Let's see. Aaron Anderson ends up leading the team in receiving yards. Okay, don't know if that's a hot take. I think I could get down with that. Po' Boy Prophet, LSU leads the SEC in sacks or tackles for loss. I could definitely see that. Top 15 defense, sure. That's fine. Will Rucker, Tre'Dez Green is an All-American. I get called a glizzy gobbler here for saying that Kyle Pitts, I'm not sure if Kyle Pitts is better than Mason Taylor. Notice I said, I'm not sure. All right. I would say Kyle Pitts is better than Mason Taylor. Definitely as a receiver. That's not close. But Mason Taylor's a better blocker. I got 3 years of production instead of two out of Kyle Pitts. Kyle Pitts didn't show up in big moments. Mason Taylor was a big moment king. I'll still say Kyle Pitts is better than Mason Taylor. I'm not that biased to say something that ignorant. But it just depends on how you want to define the tight end position. I value blocking as a tight end a little bit more. And I like to separate receiving tight ends from actual tight ends, right? To me, George Kittle and Travis Kelce do not play the same position. But they do in name only. Lil Goosey, Tiger Wooks 69, says Ness throws for 4,800 yards. That's a lot. And Harold Perkins doesn't impress yet again. That's two scorchers right there. 4,800 is a lot. A lot. Let's get to a few YouTubers. Tommy says he's waiting to see how the offensive line comes together. If that works, I could see the defense being just fine. Mike says they start the season 0-3. Okay. Mike has LSU losing to Southeastern. Humphrey Report says LSU has a 1,000-yard rusher. That is somewhat bold. It's not happening a good bit. Well, outside of Jaden, of course, but still. Talen. This was the hottest take. 29 and 25 become the greatest duo in LSU history at running back. All right. So, to me, the best duo ever at running back is Leonard Fournette and Darius Geis. The truth, though, is LSU's had more so really good committees, right? So, 2017, they had five different running backs with 35 carries or more. The best running back duo in the history of LSU football. Better than Leonard Fournette and Darius Geis. I don't know if I can get there. Greg McElroy. I don't think this is a real Greg McElroy, but he says top 25 defense. This is kind of a weird one. A significant starter goes out for the year in game one and allows a star to step out, a step up out of the shadows and become a first team selection. That's happened before. Injury opening up slots. Kind of happened with Jeremy Hill. Let's go to Mr. Make It Happen. This was from our episode yesterday with Preston Guy. He says, I just watched your podcast. I know you're really high on Pop. So for those who don't know, Pop is Peyton Houston, the lower ranked quarterback in the state of Louisiana compared to Elijah Haven, who is the highest ranked quarterback and the five-star can't miss prospect. I won't go too deep on this because I'm just mostly focusing on the current LSU team. But basically I said, if I had to choose between the two, I would pick Peyton Houston. But I am not Joseph and lucky enough. I don't have to choose between one of those two at some point. And I definitely don't have to choose right now. Okay. Aaron Anderson has 70-plus catches and 1,000 yards. Ness throws for 4,700 yards and 45 TDs. Okay. Let's keep it moving here. The Dukes of Hammond says LSU loses to Southeastern. Line the F up. I don't think Beth Tarina is walking through that door. Let's keep it moving here. Girth Dog, thank you for the love. LSU doesn't win a single road game. That won't happen, but that is a pretty bold take. Our front seven is going to be dominant. Kevin, a longtime supporter. Drake says LSU have a top 10 defense. Cody McElroy says second round of the playoffs. Playing for the SEC. Let's go to Semper Frosty. Pickett, all SEC, all freshman, most interceptions in the SEC. Nuss has the most passing touchdowns. Caden Durham, All-American. Tredavious Green, All-SEC. Harold Perkins, All-SEC. Whit Weeks, All-American. Anderson, he didn't specify. I'm guessing he's picking Aaron instead of Nick as the All-American. And Dominic McKinley, All-SEC. Ron says LSU loses to Alabama again. Barnacle Boy says LSU's going 8-4 or worse. 3-1K wide receivers. That's never happened before, I think, ever in college football. The Tigers says quit tinkering with the running back rotation and let the hot running back run the effing ball. I am a big believer in tighter rotations, but, you know, it's always tough to say feed the hot hand because certain running backs are in certain packages. But I do agree. If the hot hand's hot, let him stay hot. Skylar Landry says Brian Kelly gets fired before the season's over. That's not happening. Brady says undefeated in the Natty. I like the Jose Alvarado avatar. Paul says we don't lose an SEC game all year. Hope you're right. Willow says Aaron Anderson wins a Biletnikoff. Chad says we get blown out by South Carolina. They should be pretty good this year. I don't think they're going to get blown out. This is the first anti-Nuss one that we have. Garrett Nussmeier gets benched by week 8. I don't know. Could I see that happen? Yeah, if he's not good, any quarterback could just fall off, but I just don't see that happening. Okay, Boba, thanks for the love. Coach O says we lose five games. Matthew says LSU wins the opener. Top three defense in the country. No. We're going 7-4, says Butt Chug. Thank you, Butt Chug Connor. We're going 7-4. I should have just had that as the thumbnail. Butt Chug Connor. All right, so Lucas actually sent me a DM before this began and said, don't flame me too hard for this take. Lucas says, Harold Perkins will be an average, maybe barely above average linebacker this year. All right. So that's what Harold Perkins was last year before he got hurt. He was average to above average. The year before was a little trickier because he was playing the new role, had a very elite game versus Missouri. So he wasn't necessarily bad the year before, but he was probably above average the year before as he tried to learn the new role. And then obviously the year before that, when he was healthy, he was arguably the best player in college football. Okay? So let's see. Do I think Harold Perkins is above average? No. When he's on, he's on. It has been 2 years, though, since we've seen him being on fire. He is coming off a pretty severe injury. And the biggest aspect of his game is his speed and explosiveness. So how much of that will be back? I don't know. What I would say, though, Lucas, and it is of note, neutral observers, those that grind all 22 NFL draft film for their jobs year-round, agrees with you. And on this channel, we do take into account neutral observations. I do think like national publications that don't really look too deeply into things, you'll see Harold Perkins on a lot of all SEC, All-American type of teams. I do think he has better served as a sub-package type of player. I am not sure if an every-down role is the best thing for his skill set. He is still to this day the best high school football player I've ever evaluated that has come into LSU since I've been doing grading over the last 5 years. That's how special I thought of him. My only holdback was, where is his role? What is his best role? But look, he might be a running back. I mean, you never really know what someone so insanely gifted as him. But I don't think it's as scorching hot of a take as you would think. Natty. Sean says Nussmeier leads the SEC in touchdown passes. LSU goes 11-1 and loses to Ole Miss, but then beats them in Atlanta. So Joseph is really high on Ole Miss going into next season. The Agent Cajun says 4 losses and Brian Kelly's fired. Y'all, if Brian Kelly loses 4 games, he's not getting fired. The only road win is at Vandy. So if you go undefeated at home and you beat Vandy on the road and you lose the other 4, I think you make it. I do. Christopher says Trey S. Green will lead the nation in touchdown receptions. Gabriella says, excuse me, what? We have someone bringing up something that happened all the way back in Notre Dame. We've discussed that previously. Let's see. John says Brian Kelly retained for 26 after an 8-5 start. This is probably the most level-headed downward trajectory BK statement. We keep it moving. Brock says we lose the first game against Clemson but win the SEC. Once again, that would require running the table. And if you were to win the SEC and then also win the national championship, you would be looking potentially at a 17-game season. Or if you were to win the SEC, you would get a first-round bye, more than likely a 16-game season. It's a long season. Max says the only game LSU needs to worry about is Bama and Florida. I don't think that's the only game. Two games. Swim D says LSU running back room will carry them very far this season. Okay. Luke says LSU is 9-2 walking into Norman, and they choked the playoffs in the final game. I could see it, but here's the thing. Let's say that one of those two losses is to Clemson. If a 9-3 LSU team is able to sneak into the SEC title game and win the SEC title, they would find a way to make the playoff. Let's see. LSU top 15 defense. Well, we got a Falcons fan here. And this Todd McClure's burner. Is this Debo Jones, Jalen Collins, LSU 2-4, looking for answers as they face Vanderbilt. Okay, Jordan, thanks for your service. LSU walking to Norman, dropping their testicles on that property, on that poverty program. Very graphic. I probably should have cut some of these down, but I said I'd go to everyone. Logan Courtney, I see that. Daniel, LSU beats Oklahoma so bad that the Sooners demand to play someone else for rivalry week, such as Missouri or Arkansas. I like that. I like that attitude. We will not blow Oklahoma out, though. They should be pretty solid. Chocolate Graham says Nuss will not be a Heisman finalist. DLM says Nuss gets benched. Okay. Shout out to Paul and Moses Brett. Charles. What's up, man? Young Charles, 23. Oh, God. He's an Arsenal fan. Now I got to skip your comment. Kidding. Beat Bama on the road, but drop one other road game unexpectedly to the other four. Okay. Gabe says undefeated season. Tre'Davious Green, first team All-American, says Jay Jettis. There's Lucas. Dividend Dennis. Gabriel Relaford will lead the team in sacks. Very plausible. We are big Gabriel Relaford fans, and if you are as well, his parents are very big supporters of us. And we did an interview with Gabriel Relaford in person. Okay? And I think that should just about do it. James G. Football says LSU loses to Oklahoma. Oh, he deleted it. There you go. And that's all of them. Okay. Let me see. Check the Discords. Look at this. That's pretty cool. No, I did not receive the job. I'm still open. I don't know why your comments weren't popping up over here crazy with the Tease Whiz. I think 2011 was a pretty good duo as well. Kenny Hilliard and Alfred Blue. Yeah, but it wasn't a duo. Because 2011 also had a guy by the name of Michael Ford. And Spencer Ware, to me, was the best running back in that backfield. So, yeah, they haven't necessarily had duos, per se, like they've had duos at wide receiver. So, there you go. Now, in the next 5 to 10, I'll answer as many questions as we possibly can. If you super chat, we'll keep this party moving. That was exhausting. But I did say I would get to every single one of your hot takes. But there we go. I think that'll do it for me. If you have a hot take that we did not get to, or I didn't shout you out on Twitter, or in the Discord, or Instagram, I actually said I would check the Instagram. I didn't. I'm not good at the gram. I don't have a fat rear end. Actually, I do, but I don't have one that would be in favor of the algorithm. Okay. I think we touched on pretty much every single hot take topic you could get to. So hit me up. Once again, special thanks to Zion Imaging. Special thanks to everyone that supports us. And we'll talk to you tomorrow, 6 p.m. It is Power Hour LSU. Boom. Tonight, we are doing a New York strip. Let's go. Let's go.